The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome to Happy Hour. I'm Diana Clark, and I teach this with Nikki Mercafori. We usually like alternate unless one of us is not in town. So more or less, but alternate, and always the teacher will be on the calendar. If you look at the IMC calendar, Nikki and I always update it whenever there's changes. So if it matters to you who the teacher is, you can look on the calendar. So many of you probably know we're going to be doing some loving kindness meditation. And as I've explained to some of you, I'll talk here for a little bit, and then we'll do a guided meditation, then just a little bit of talking afterwards, and then opening it up for questions and comments about what happened, or some questions you might have about what I said. So as an introduction, I would just like to acknowledge and, state what might be obvious, that all of us wish to make the world a better place, or to live in a world that's better, that the best version of the world that we could make. I like to think that that's true. I don't know if in fact it is true, but I like to think that all of us want to have the world to be a good place for us, for our families, for people we love, for everyone. And part of making the world a better place requires that we have the best version of ourselves, so that we can show up with wisdom, with care, with respect, with love, and know how to interact with whatever it is that we might find ourselves experiencing, whatever it is that gets brought into our lives, into our worlds. So being whole and meeting some of our emotional needs is a way in which we can help create the conditions for the best version of ourselves so that we can make the world a better place. It's all interrelated. And so part of being whole, or feeling less fragmented, less fractured maybe, part of getting some of our emotional needs met, is part of that is self-care, taking care of ourselves, respecting ourselves. Self-care is important. Probably all of us know this. Self-care does not mean, indulgence. It's not about just chasing pleasures, or it's not having a manicure every week necessarily, or something like this. In fact, self-care is different for everybody. But one thing that it has in common is to ask ourselves, what do we need? And to listen with what we learn, and then to follow through in a way that's in accordance with our values and that makes sense with our life, but to ask ourselves, what's needed? What do we need? It could be as simple as just consistently going to sleep at a regular hour. Or it could be as difficult as looking at some of our habits that we have and noticing that the long-term consequences of those habits aren't leading us in a direction that really support us and serve us. That can be a difficult inquiry. That can be a difficult when we discover some of these answers. So self-care is different for all of us, but it requires, or I don't like that word require so much, but it's most helpful for us to inquire, like what would support us? Not so that we only experience pleasure, not so that we avoid everything that's unpleasant, but so that we can be the best version of ourselves with care, so we can show up with wisdom So we can show up with respect and have some capacity to be with the difficulties that's part of the human experience, to increase our capacity to help others, to increase the capacity to be with when we learn something about ourselves that's, maybe it's not what we wish, maybe it's not so flattering. Maybe when we ask ourselves what we need, we discover something about ourselves we didn't know before. So self-care is not always fun. Might be boring. Maybe going to bed at a reasonable hour is boring. It might be hard work to make changes in our lives, to have difficult conversations, whatever it might be. But it helps, the self-care will help us build resilience, help us build strength, and a certain type of power, dare I say. Again, to meet what the world brings us, and also to help us make the world a better place for ourselves and for others. So, loving-kindness practice, which we'll be doing this evening, is a way that can help support self-care in a number of ways. One is it itself can be a way of caring for ourselves, to increase the love and the warmth and the care that we have for ourselves as well as for others. But loving kindness practice can also support self-care in that it helps us to ask that question, what's really needed? Not necessarily what I want, not what's convenient, not what have I always done, but what's really needed here? So with loving-kindness practice, it helps to soften the heart, quiet the mind, in which we can ask these questions and get answers that come from a deeper, more settled place. And to help us have access to that deeper, more settled place, often where the best versions of ourselves resides. We all know this, that when we're stressed and late and haven't eaten and whatever all these conditions might be, haven't slept well, right? That's often not the best versions of ourselves. So it's helpful to build the capacity to have access to that, even when the conditions aren't ideal. So in this way, loving kindness practice is a way that helps us connect with that sense inside of ourselves, as well as to just cultivate greater and greater appreciation for ourselves and for others, and to connect with the heart's capacity for warmth, for care, respect, love. All these great things that really enrich our lives and fills our life. So loving-kindness practice, the way I'll be doing it this evening, there's a number of different ways we can do it. The way that I'll be doing it this evening has three elements to loving-kindness practice. The first element, or maybe I'll say this first, that with loving-kindness practice, we always start where it's easiest. We're going to start where it's easiest. That means that we most often start with bring into mind somebody or some being for whom it's easy to feel love. For some being or somebody that our hearts just, we have like this interior smile, or there's a sense of warmth or a little bit of joy or delight when we bring this person to mind. Sometimes we use the expression benefactor, somebody who has helped us in our life. It doesn't have to be somebody that you have a relationship with, that you know well, but we ask that it's, or ask, suggest that it be an uncomplicated relationship, not a relationship in which, well, you really love them, except there was that time when they did that thing that, right? We want to just kind of a place where it's easy and simple. So some people use spiritual leaders. Some people use historical figures. Some people use kittens and puppies and babies. You know, just this idea of wherever it is that kind of your heart warms up and softens. So the first element of loving kindness practice, the way I'm going to teach it tonight, is to bring to mind. So visualize a lovable being. And that may be, you know, having a picture of them in your mind. The picture does not have to be crystal clear, doesn't need to be high definition, anything like that. Or it could just be a felt sense of when that being is around, whatever that means to you, however you understand that. So that's the first element, to bring to mind in some kind of way a lovable being. The second element is to use bodily sensations as a support. Very often, not always, very often there's a feeling of softness or warmth or opening or something in the heart center, in the chest. Maybe there's some relaxation in the belly. Maybe there's just a general relaxation and the shoulders go down and a little feeling of well-being. We use these physical sensations also as a support. So you might want to I use this expression, kind of like dip into those sensations. That is, to rest your attention. What does it feel like in the heart center or in the belly? And use any sense of ease as a support for the practice. So that's the second element, is bodily sensations. And then the third element are phrases that you can repeat silently after me in your mind. There's nothing particularly magical about these phrases. They just support our intention to be cultivating loving kindness. So we may have this intention to be sending love or cultivating love, but the mind often gets distracted. So we use the phrases as a way to kind of keep the mind back, just to keep on bringing the mind back to this intention to cultivate loving kindness. So tonight we'll start with doing loving kindness for a lovable being, a benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy to love. Then we'll expand it to include ourselves. For some people, that's a little difficult. And then we'll expand a little bit more to do a little bit of equanimity, this recognition that it's not always easy to love ourselves, to love others, and how can we cultivate the capacity to be okay with that. Right? Because sometimes things don't go the way that we imagine or that we want, and just to help kind of, increase our capacity or familiarity with wanting things to be okay, but they're not okay. That's the human experience very often, right? So with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture. So a posture that is comfortable and yet expresses a certain amount of dignity or respect or care that you have for yourself. A certain amount of uprightness that also supports an alertness and yet some ease and relaxation. This sometimes takes a little bit of experience to find the balance here. And then to begin, we'll take three long, slow breaths, just as a way to connect with the body, connect with our immediate experience. And then allowing the breath to return to normal and trusting that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything special. For this practice, we just let the body breathe itself. And then to support some ease, it can be helpful to just check in with different parts of the body that often hold a lot of tension. maybe around the eyes or the jaw. Sometimes we find ourselves leaning forward, so there might be just a little movement to bring like the ears in alignment with the shoulder. Just this micro movement. Letting the shoulder blades slide down the back. And check in with the upper back, the lower back. No guarantees that tension will leave when we bring our attention there, but can we be okay with the tension that's there? Check in with the chest and the belly. The arms and hands. Can feel the cushion or the chair against your body where you're sitting and feel supported and grounded. We're here now. Check in with the legs and the feet. The feet are also touching the ground or the chair. And then to begin and continue this settling process, start by placing your awareness on the sensations of breathing. So that is the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Just choose one of those three, whichever is the most vivid, the most easeful, the most accessible. And just very simply rest your awareness on the sensations of breathing. It wouldn't be unusual if you found yourself lost in thought. Most likely you've been thinking all day. This doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply, gently, bring your awareness back to the sensations of breathing. If you find that your attention is no longer on the breath, again, just very simply begin again. It doesn't matter how many times you begin again. It absolutely does not matter. Just rest your awareness and feel the movements, the beginning of the in-breath, the end of the in-breath. And do the same with the out breath. So this practice, mindfulness of breathing, can be a go-to practice if you ever feel overwhelmed, confused, not sure what to do. Just always come back to this. Just rest in your awareness on the sensations of breathing. And then to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. As I said, someone for whom it's easy to feel love, warmth, care, respect, goodwill. You can choose whichever word is the most resonant for you. And you might check in with the body and the heart center, or maybe the belly. You might feel a softening, a warmth. You might not too. It's perfectly fine if you don't feel anything or you're not even quite sure what I'm talking about. It's perfectly fine. And then to support our intention to cultivate loving kindness in the sense of sending loving kindness, sending goodwill, sending love and care to the lovable being, while having them in mind, just repeat silently after me these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might want to check in with your body and allow any feeling of softness, warmth, opening, spaciousness, well-being, Allow that feeling to support you. Even if it's not your dominant experience, it may just be a small aspect of your experience. And again, bringing to mind the lovable being. And we can begin again with the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to modify the phrases. Use different words that are more meaningful for you. So I'll be silent here for a short bit. You can maybe experiment with different pace, different words, or maybe just keep it the same. I want to check in with the body, allow it to be easeful, allow it to support you. You might want to refresh, if necessary, the image of the lovable being. With this practice, we're creating the conditions in which loving kindness might arise. But there's no guarantees. You don't expect that something in particular has to happen or should happen or will happen. We're just creating the conditions. I'll start up with the phrases again. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to build on this foundation of loving kindness that we're cultivating, developing, we'll expand it to include ourselves. Of course we deserve loving kindness, of course we do, just like everyone else. So we do this in a similar way. So bring a image of yourself, either as you are now, or some people like to do a younger version of themselves, even when they were children or even toddlers. Alternatively, you can have like a felt sense of yourself sitting here, listening to my voice here and now, whichever feels most accessible to you, kind of, or maybe it's a combination. Again, you can feel and see into the body and see if there's a sense of openness or warmth or spaciousness. And then we'll just change the pronoun in the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Sometimes when we do loving kindness practice, everything except loving kindness arises. Maybe even the opposite of loving kindness. So as best you can you make space for those feelings, make space for those thoughts, and as best you can, maybe have some kindness towards those sensations, those experiences. We don't have to make them go away. We don't have to pretend they're not here. Just hold them in the sense of acknowledging that's what's happening right now. If it feels overwhelming, you can do mindfulness of breathing. Gently open your eyes. Or go back to loving kindness for the lovable being. And then to help support the heart and the mind's capacity to be with whatever might arise in our world, in our experience, in our life, it can be helpful to practice some equanimity. That is some spaciousness around. In particular, this practice will be other people. Somebody with whom we have a little bit of tension with. Again, we're not going to start where it's difficult. We are going to start where it's easy. So bring to mind somebody with whom you have a little bit of tension with, not the most difficult relationship, but maybe we could use some support in setting boundaries, knowing what we can change, what we can't change. So in the same way, you can bring this individual to mind. And we can use sensations in the body to nourish us or support us. And for equanimity, we can say this phrase: I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. So I'll be silent for a bit here. Can practice in any way that makes sense to you now. Perhaps continuing with what we were just doing. Perhaps going back to mindfulness of breathing or loving kindness for a lovable being or for yourself. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So I started by talking about self-care, and self-care as asking yourself what you need, and then following through on the honest answer. And one way to know what we need is to help kind of nourish ourselves so some of the neediness can quiet and soften a little bit so that we can hear the answer of what's needed, and also to help support us in a way of finding a way to do what's needed, to find a way. And then with the practice, we started with mindfulness of breathing, just as a way to kind of get settled, and as a kind of a foundational practice, meditation practice. And then we did meditation for a lovable being, loving kindness meditation for ourselves, and then some equanimity practice. So a lot of different things in there. So now I'd like to open it up to any questions or comments. How was that transitioning from one practice to the other? Did you find one easier than another? Did you have an experience you're curious about, you'd like to ask about? Something you'd just like to share? Some clarification you'd like? We have a microphone here just so that everybody can hear. Nobody wants to begin. Okay, Jordan, thank you.
Thank you, Diana. It's always good to see you.
Thank you.
So, I always have a good experience with the practice, and what I find is challenging is to keep my wishes sincere without having like discursive thoughts about the person or myself. And then when I wish well to a person I'm having a difficult time with, that's when it's, most challenging is, but when I stick with the phrases and, I develop sincerity, that's when I find that there's like a little shift, which is interesting. Because I'm not, I'm thinking about other people and not just about myself, So I find that it's interesting, expanding it outwards and not just for people I love or for myself, but for other people. I think that's where the practice develops, I think, for me.
Mm-hmm. And so you talked about where this shift to doing this with sincerity. Can you say a little bit what kind of supports that shift?
Well, first I need to, establish it. I can't, I could try to just go straight there, but yeah, I have to first, follow the order, which I've learned through experimentation, and like spend a little time on each one. So it's an interesting practice because which I find that, you know, everyone wants to be happy, you know, and usually the person I'm having a difficult time with is because of, you know, it's not them, it's, I have a part in it too, you know. So it's kind of like trying to put all that aside and just wish them well, you know, and just kind of forgetting about what the difficulty is, but just wishing goodwill for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe I'll say two things. One is there's absolutely no timeline for how we do this. We start where it's easiest and radiate out to where it's more and more difficult. And maybe we stay with where it's easiest for years. Just stay there and kind of lubricate the heart and loosen it up or whatever, right? And then maybe the second thing that I'll say is, for me, this kind of helped. This is a more analytical thinking of those people that I have some tension with or some difficulty with, whether I actually know them or not. I felt like, well, actually, I do want them to be happy because if they have more happiness, the likelihood is they'll be nicer or they'll be, you know, stop doing that thing that's driving me crazy. So it's, you know, it starts out kind of being like a self-interested, well, I do want them to be happy because then I don't want them to be miserable because most likely, you know, we know how this is, right? Miserableness kind of leaks out of us, but happiness leaks out of us too. So kind of this, just as you said, Jordan, that you were able to kind of like put aside some of the details of what you were, the difficulty was, and still wish them some happiness.
Yeah, I feel like you were talking about self-care. By trying to sincerely wish them well, it's like you're taking care of yourself in the process, you know?
Yeah, right. Right? And if we really pay attention to it, having ill will, anger, hatred, whatever it might be, is painful for ourselves. That feeling, right, of this constricted heart, kind of the repetitive thoughts, how dare they do this, and I should have done that, and they should have done this, round, round, round. That's, you know, we don't want our lives to be filled with that. That's not the best versions of ourselves. So it is proper self-care. Thank you, Jordan. Anybody else have something they'd like to comment on or share or ask a question about? Yes. Can we send the microphone all the way to the back? Raise your hand if you have. Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
It occurred to me that being here is self-care for myself. And the process that you led us through feels like exactly what I need to do, and it feels comfortable and comforting and puts me at peace.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. So many of us, right? We just want time to connect with our hearts and be with others in a kind of caring, respectful way and quiet way. Thank you. I'm going to take it as a good sign that people don't want to speak, that you guys have a certain amount of settledness, a certain amount of ease. Is this person right behind you will take it.
I'm still chewing on the equanimity practice.
Yeah.
I've tried it a few times, and it still feels sort of weird, but you have to make your own choices part. I can't quite get a hold of the way to express the weirdness, except to be curious if there's sort of other pieces of equanimity that might give me a running start at that.
Yeah.
Or actually what your threats are about what makes it weird, I guess.
You know, it's funny, there's actually a whole collection of equanimity phrases, and of course, while I'm sitting here, not a single one comes to my mind. I'm sure they will as soon as I leave, right? I think that this, maybe I'll just talk about why I like those phrases, and maybe you can say, well, it doesn't matter, I disagree with that, or something like this. I like this idea of that other people make their own choices. It makes me feel like, okay, I'm not responsible for what they're doing. Somehow, when there's difficulty with people, we often have this idea, you know, my life would be better, and I'm sure your life would be better if you would just do this thing, whatever it might be. Like, we have this sense that we know better, or that if they would behave differently, then things would be fine. And then this feels like it just says, well, actually, you know, we can't change other people. We can't make them behave the way we think they should, even though we try and sometimes think that we can influence them. So for me, I like it because it kind of says, oh, there's my influence only goes so far. And I start to feel sometimes frustrated when people aren't doing what I think they should be doing. But there's no reason to feel frustrated. Of course they're not doing what I think they should be doing. They're doing what they think they should be doing. And that's kind of how the world works.
So maybe I should trust that it's a good thing that my influence can't go any further, or trust that they really are doing the best and wisest thing that they know how for themselves in the moment. And more than just saying, oh, those are your choices, say, I'm glad that I only need to answer for me.
Well, when probably all of us, everybody in this room probably has the experience, what happens when we try to force people to make different decisions, do different things? It doesn't usually work.
It usually still misfires, even if it works.
There you go. So just that kind of recognition. But I'm sure also right in these phrases is a certain amount of respect for this other person. Like, okay, you're going to make your own choices. And having that little shift from I know better and let me tell you what you should do to, okay, I respect that you'll make your own choices in a way that makes sense for you. That little shift in our attitude may create the conditions for something else to happen. I'll try to remember the other equanimity phrases. I think it's worthwhile for us to kind of explore them. So, thank you. Yes, Angie.
So I'm going to stick on the equanimity.
Yeah.
Because actually the way it's being talked about is kind of different than in the practice that we just did. I understand that part of equanimity, but for me, it feels more a release when we get to that part, because it's when others are expecting me, not that I want to put my thoughts on them, which is what we were kind of just talking about, but when I feel, and sometimes in my mind it's probably my issue, but many times it's not, where someone's expecting me to be the giver of their happiness or the giver of their whatever it might be. And so doing it at the end in the order you do it is very freeing. I find it a beautiful, calming thing to do after giving yourself loving kindness. So is that equanimity? Is that a part of equanimity also, creating that distance to still wish well, but kind of say it's not my job,
exactly.
You know, sometimes.
Exactly. I think that's beautiful, Angie. That's the idea of the, it's not our responsibility. Because we can fall into, well, I'm wishing you happiness, so you, this should work. You should, like, be happy or somehow. But I think what you're absolutely is right. This kind of equanimity phrases of kind of like being clear about what we can do and what we can't do. And for others, whether they're expecting it for us or whether we're expecting to be able to do it for them.
And the phrasing seems not mean. You know, like I'm, it's not like you're going, I'm not going to help you be happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's more, it's a kinder, it's in the realm of self-care, it felt.
Yeah. And having some boundaries of what,
And that'd be okay.
Yeah. Thank you for adding that. I think that's great. Okay, well, it's 7:01, so we're going to end now. If you have a question, you're welcome to come up and talk to me afterwards. Otherwise, I wish you all a wonderful evening, and may you find some health, happiness, safety, and ease. Thank you.